Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We want to ask you a question. Would you buy a home without 21st century internet access? Well, that's the plight facing nearly 30,000 residents in western Massachusetts. Towns like Plainfield, Blandford, and New Marlborough lack the fiber optic network required to bring high-speed internet into their homes. Now, to close that gap, often referred to as the last mile, 47 Massachusetts towns have joined the collaborative. It's called Wired West, and the group has proposed a taxpayer-funded regional network. Now, this would seem to be right in line with state-level efforts to bring broadband to everyone in Massachusetts. I mean, the state itself launched the Massachusetts Broadband Institute in 2008 precisely to tackle the last-mile problem. But the MBI does not like the Western Massachusetts Collaborative Network idea. And now a new report from Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society reprimands the state for its lack of support. Joining us now is Susan Crawford. She's the co-author of that report and a professor at Harvard Law School and co-director of the Berkman Center. And she joins us from New York today. Susan Crawford, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks so much.
It's great to have you. So first of all, tell us a little bit about exactly what's going on in Western Massachusetts. Why is it that we don't yet have full broadband penetration there?
Well, actually, this is true of a lot of rural areas in the United States. You know, most of them don't have access to a wire in their home. And the wires that people in Western Mass have are old copper legacy wires that are no good for anything like video conferencing or running a business from home. So it's like not being able to breathe out there when it comes to internet access. It's really a terrible situation.
Yeah.
And the people there banded together to try to do something about it.
Well, I mean, as we mentioned, the 47 towns came together and formed Wired West in Massachusetts and saying, look, we can achieve a kind of economy of scale when we do it all together. And that what? They wanted to have debt servicing from the towns to the effect of, I don't know, roughly $50 million to get it going. But the state seems to object to that. Why?
Well, it's always good in every relationship to assume positive intent. You know, the Massachusetts Broadband Program was really developed under Governor Patrick. Governor Baker comes in. His staff is still trying to get their arms around it. And you could say they've been intentionally delaying, or you could say they're just trying to get their feet on the ground. At this point, he's recently appointed a couple of new staff members, and our hope is that they will engage with Wired West and push this effort ahead. Mm-hmm. Because having a regional initiative makes a lot of sense. You save a lot of money. We really should be doing it in Boston, Cambridge, and Somerville, by the way. And it also means that the towns can control their own destinies rather than Comcast or another incumbent making prices up.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing here a letter from December 1st, 2015, from the Massachusetts Broadband Institute. And by the way, we did reach out to them and ask them to participate in the conversation today, and they declined. But in this December 1st, 2015 letter, they seem to have some very specific objections. And, you know, and without getting too wonky, although the devil is always in the details, you know, they were worried that towns that may eventually want to exit Wired West and exit the collaborative would have to transfer all ownership of their portion of the network to Wired West and could never get that portion of the ownership back. And it also seemed that they were concerned that Wired West's plan to repay the debt servicing to the towns was just not feasible. I mean, aren't these truly, these are good points to bring up as reasons why they were concerned?
Well, actually, that report was rebutted point by point by Wired West. Okay. And it's a little weird to say that Wired West is separate from the towns. Wired West is the towns. They all have formed municipal light plants, they're called, under state law, that allow the town to act as an entity and join this cooperative. It's actually a very famous legal form, a cooperative. We've used it for hundreds of years in America to do things in rural areas that are not being done by private industry.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at some other alternatives, though, like the town of Leverett managed to lay down a last mile of fiber network on its own. And so why couldn't that potentially be an option for some of these other towns?
Well, very different demographics in Leverett than many of the towns in Western Mass. Leverett's really a pretty wealthy, leafy suburb of Amherst. And they have a lot of full-time residents. They packed themselves to raise the money to build a network. And by the way, the MBI gave them millions of dollars to make sure they built the network to the last mile. But they were able to do it as a single town. That's just not a viable option for a lot of these tiny places out there, which will die without adequate connectivity.
Mm. So tell me a little bit more then about what you see as the way forward, since this is such a major problem for so much of rural America. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify things because there's always, you know, there's local control, local rules, state and local relationships to be considered. But, I mean, in a way, isn't this something that it's so important, like you said, like electricity, that in a way we should just collectively be subsidizing it to get the last mile covered in rural places?
And, in fact, the states are often handing out direct subsidies to cable companies to try to make them do it. Yeah, this is just like the first half of your program. What's basic for human life? What's, you know, we need transit, we need health care, we need a great communications network so that people can stay where they live, have a thriving life. And more and more people around the country are seeing this. There are hundreds of cities in America that are working at building a public option so they're not under the thumb of any incumbent. The problem is that at the state and national level, it's pretty easy to capture and fog politicians. So certainly in our region, in New York and Connecticut and Massachusetts, you've got people at the state level who are really convinced that private industry can do this and are weaselly and uncomfortable at the role of any town getting involved.
You know, I wonder though, so there's a policy shift and a mental shift that it sounds like you're saying we need to undertake in that, you know, treating the internet like a utility rather than a privately owned entity.
And what's fascinating is that we made that exact mental shift with electricity, which used to be viewed as a luxury, something that not everybody needed for a thriving life. Nobody would think that today. And it took FDR really jumping in with both feet to say everybody needs electricity at a reasonable price to change people's views about that in America. We need that kind of national leadership today to change the picture. We're getting that way, but it's coming from this patchwork of very brave mayors who are taking this matter into their own hands. And if they're smart, they're working on a regional basis.
Mm. So, I mean, I have kind of just a dollars and cents question, because we can talk about it at the policy level forever, but do we know really how much it would cost? I mean, Wired West says their plan would cost, what, $50 million or so, if I have that right? I mean, is that an accurate estimate for what they'd like to do?
Well, the towns are ready to issue debt for two-thirds of the amount of the building of these networks, and then the rest of the money would be filled up by that $50 million figure.
I see.
So that's a subsidy that would be coming from the Commonwealth. You know, we know from Google Fiber's financials or the exploration of Google Fiber's business model by Wall Street that it's costing somewhere between, you know, $700 a house, $1,200 a house. These are more rural areas, might be more expensive there. But we're getting equipment at cheaper and cheaper rates. These networks are being built all over the world. There are lots of manufacturers who want to help. And by the way, there is private capital sloshing around in America that should be put to use for these infrastructure projects, put people to work. They would pay off over 30 years. They'd pay off until the sun explodes, actually, because everybody's going to need this basic utility service. I think we can't afford not to do it at this point.
Right. So I was going to ask you sort of to dovetail on that. Has there been an analysis done of the economic upside of what happens to a community when that broadband does come?
We've got a couple of economic reports, mostly from other countries, saying that the spillover effects of having this kind of fiber connectivity are dramatic. Just in Chattanooga, we've also seen that they've gotten a lot of new business and a whole generation of people staying there. We need better economic evidence. I'm not going to make it up here on the fly. But this is just like electricity in that the payoffs are not just to the company that builds the network and gets the monthly receipts, but to society as a whole. This is like Eisenhower and the highway system.
Yeah. Well, I understand that you're now a member of Mayor Bill de Blasio's broadband task force in New York City. What's going on there?
Well, we've got a similar picture for New York, oddly, that more than 2 million New Yorkers don't have a wired home. It's very tightly correlated with socioeconomic status. And so, you know, New York should be acting as a regulator, really controls the conduit under the streets of Manhattan and the Bronx, and making sure that there's fiber to everyone. They've got a problem in that Verizon promised to wire the city by 2014, but really hasn't done it. So there's a real tussle going on right now between Verizon and New York City, which casts a shadow over Boston's recent agreement to do business with Verizon.
Yeah, so I was just going to point that out because it did happen eventually here in Boston. I mean, with that in mind, is there a way, we talked about what the state could do, we talked about what rural communities banding together like they are with Wired West can do, but is there a way to further push the motivations or encourage the motivations of the Verizons of the world, Google, to maybe to step in to the gap?
Absolutely. And the best way to do this is what we're seeing in Huntsville, Alabama, where the city is taking on the burden of building what amounts to a street grid for communications infrastructure, a wholesale, unlit, it's called passive fiber infrastructure, so that you have fiber that is ready to go under all the streets, going to every house. But the city itself is not participating in the private market. It's not competing. But it makes that available at a set price to people who do want to compete and serve citizens. And Google's going into Huntsville. They're going to be the first ISP there operating at a retail level above that wholesale facility. So that is the answer. That's what we should be doing across the country.
Hmm. Well, Susan Crawford is a professor at Harvard Law School and co-director of the Berkman Center at Harvard, talking to us about the challenges and possible solutions faced by at least 30,000 households in Western Massachusetts in getting broadband internet access to them. And then also, as Susan Crawford said at the beginning of our conversation, this problem as a whole for rural America. Susan Crawford, it's always a great pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
And listeners, let us know where you are. Is broadband internet access sufficient or not? What challenges have you had to get it to your community? And what do you think the best thing to do is to get everyone wired the way they should be in the 21st century? Let us know at radioboston.org. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.